In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Do you ever get a little down in life? Do you dream of that buff body but can't be bothered to actually do the work? Of course you do. We all hate ourselves a little bit. 30 minutes from now, you'll feel so comparatively intelligent, cultured, and generally superior that you'll wonder why you ever worried at all. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Flats and Shanks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of what we used to call our weekly podcast. We've actually just had a week off, so fortnightly.
Everyone's allowed a holiday, mate.
Everyone's had a holiday, boy.
I'm Tom Shanklin.
I'm David Flatman.
Hi, Dave.
Okay, boy?
Yeah, good.
We just did a sound check, by the way. Our sound checks are pretty high tech. And I sounded like I had...
like helium. I'd taken in some helium or something. It was really odd. So if I sound like that for the whole thing, soz about that.
Could be my mum's fridge poisoning us.
Yeah. I always get nervous when I come to your mum's house anyway, since the fishing trip.
If you put that spare key back. Shouldn't. She listens to this.
she does as well.
Yeah, I know.
Someone spotted her on the tube, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're out of order. How's it going? This is for our listeners at home, in the car, in the tube, wherever you are. We've had a couple of weeks away from each other, and we decided instead of seeing each other here in Shanks' mum's kitchen, having a coffee and a catch-up, then doing the pod, we wouldn't catch up at all. We would just go straight into the pod. So this is literally us catching up.
That's how professional we are.
Yeah, straight in.
So where have you been?
I've been in Verbier, skiing.
Oh, yeah.
That's who I am now.
Yeah.
Actually, we stayed in a chalet outside Verbier, 5Ks away.
So let me guess, you had like a nanny or a manny?
Nope.
Not being sexist. A cook?
Nope.
Really?
No. Went with Matt Powell, the old Worcester Warriors scrum half, and his family, and he's like a machine.
Chinzan Brook. Dean Gaffney.
Yeah. Shergar.
Yeah.
Red Rum. Willem Dafoe. Freddy Krueger. Kevin Bacon.
If he's Willem Dafoe, then he's Freddie Burns, then.
Freddie Burns.
Yeah.
Jimmy Hill. All sorts. Steptoe. He's a machine. He doesn't sleep. He just cooks, cleans, organises. He's unbelievable.
Okay.
He's relentless.
Yeah.
So, no, we didn't go out at all. No après ski. We had, you know, a couple of beers in the afternoons at the cafe while the kids were riding.
You went proper skiing, you know, you were...
No, we skied in the mornings and a little bit in the afternoon with the kids. The kids had two-hour lessons till 10 to 12 every day. We were there 5 days in a row.
Have you skied before?
Yeah, 3 times before. I'm not very good. And on the first day, as a really funny joke, Paoli took us to the top of an absolutely brutal run.
Yeah.
For my first skiing in years, got to the top... slipped as I put my skis on, fell over, couldn't stand up, got to the top, and it was like, oh my God. And part of it was fear, part of it was just awareness of my own lack of ability. I just cannot ski down that. So I had to go down on my ass.
I would imagine, though, like in a straight line, you're unbeatable.
Mate, the rate at which I gather speed is astonishing.
When you get into that tuck position, which, because of your height, is probably all the time.
Mm. Yeah.
you'd go in 50 mile an hour easily.
Yeah. I was flying, but by day 5, I went down that thing and it was actually all right, or a similar slope, and it was actually all right, sort of picked it up. But
yeah, and your head's a little bit peeling. You look a little bit like Gorbachev at the moment. Yeah.
What, with the birthmark he had on him?
Yeah, it's a massive birthmark you got on your head. We'll have to take a photo of it later.
Yeah, my head's peeling. My arms are peeling as well. I got burned. It was really, really sunny. So there's loads of snow up the top, loads of nice skiing, but it was... I could sweat standing still at the South Pole. So I'm not a great gauge, but everyone was...
Really?
Like, t-shirt and gilet, and sweating by the time we got to lunch. It was really warm. It was like summer, but with snow.
Oh, nice.
Actually, a really good time to ski. Really
like
nice.
All seasons in one.
Yeah, and you don't have to wear loads of heavy gear, and you don't have to wear goggles, just wear a pair of sunnies. That's why I've got the little marks.
What sunnies did you wear? Do you wear ones like...
Do you know what they are?
Like Liam Gallagher, John Lennon.
Yeah, John Lennon. No, I wore wraparounds like Terminator.
Okay, yeah.
No, I wore just normal pair of sunnies, but the ones I wore on the BT Sport Tour de Flats years ago, and I just, any old pair, they're literally like a 20 quid pair of whatever's from the outlet centre, right?
UV protective, though.
Yeah, they're like a surfy dude make, like Arnett or something.
Like you're getting from Boots or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. You get them from the Scholl shoe shop.
Yeah.
So I wore them on Tour de Flats, and I got, honestly, when I say loads, I mean like 30 people getting in touch with me on Twitter saying, where'd you get those sunglasses? They're
really?
Amazing. They're not amazing. And Graham Rowntree, fashion-conscious Graham Rowntree, he actually is quite a trendy guy, texted me saying, where'd you get them? They're like these super popular, but they're ultimately pieces of crap. But I landed back on Friday afternoon at Bristol Airport with family, my family, and I got a taxi straight from Bristol Airport to the stoop to commentate.
I saw you. You hadn't changed either because you still had your gilet on.
Do you know what, mate? That's what I skied in every day, and it honestly, I forgot.
What? A Jules shirt? A Jules gilet?
Jules gilet.
And a pair of Blue Harbour
cords. That and a T-shirt. That's all I...
Okay, cool.
That's all I skied in, right? So... There's a funny end to this story. Hopefully, if you find it funny, I don't know. So I got there. I got to the airport. I got to pack that morning, and I was like, "Oh my god, I've left. I brought some smart clothes to wear on TV. I've left them in my car. Oh my god, they're not there." Anyway, this will do. Shirt, trousers, gilet, BT Sport, pretty cash. Ugo always looks snappy, but I was like, "I'll get away with it." So straight from the airport to work, and I got an email today from the wardrobe lady at BT Sport, who is absolutely lovely and brilliant at her job, saying, basically, please, can you dress more smartly? Can you start wearing jacket and shirt, please, on the pitch side? Didn't have to say last weekend wasn't good enough, but last weekend wasn't good enough.
So I reckon you go full-on Gavin Henson next week.
Black on black on black?
Yeah. Have a black round, a roll neck.
Yeah. Black leather jacket, biker's jacket.
Yeah, and your new black jeans.
Black jeans. Black. I need some black Chelsea boots or something. They won't let you wear trainers unless you're Craig Doyle.
Yeah.
So there's some stuff to think about there. So I've got a little bit of a telling off, I think.
Oh, okay.
But it's all right. They were right.
I don't think you looked too bad, to be honest, mate.
Stop it.
I thought you looked all right.
So, how was Hong Kong?
Yeah, it's good, mate. You wouldn't like it.
Quiet.
So humid.
Oh, I couldn't do it.
You would just sweat non-stop.
Yeah. I'm sweating now.
Yeah.
I'm sweating now, sitting still in your mum's kitchen at 7 p.m.
You need a fan with you. You need someone fanning you down non-stop. Mm. There's no wind. It's just...
That break me.
It is very humid, but it's good fun, mate.
But I see pictures of people and they're not sweating, and I don't know how that happens. Like, you weren't sweating at all, were you?
Not too bad, but I don't sweat that much anyway, you know. I'm just lucky, really. It's all the Botox I've had.
Yeah.
Can you not tell?
Yeah.
But it's good, though, mate. I arrived on Tuesday and spoke at a dinner. Hong Kong Club spoke at dinner with...
Yeah.
Andy Nicol hosted it.
Yeah.
And they normally have a North and Southern Hemisphere player. So I was from the North... And Andrew Mertens was from the South.
Genius.
Yeah.
Loose.
Very loose.
Genius.
He was enjoying his wine before he spoke. He spoke first. And I mean, the only thing that took a shiner off that dinner for me was the fact, and Andrew Mertens, was the fact that he was great. He was great speaking. And he said, look, if I don't make you laugh, I'll just get my cock out.
High-end stuff.
So he set the tone. But then I was watching the 95 World Cup the other day, like some highlights on South Africa, New Zealand in the final. And his haircut is absolutely atrocious.
Mm.
He looks like a mushroom. He looks like he should be called Billy Bob.
Yeah.
And that sort of ruined it for me because he was a great guy.
Yeah.
Loves it. Funny. Off the cuff. It was meant to be a speech, and he didn't prepare anything, so he was just asking himself questions all the time.
Yeah.
He just winged it, but he's really good.
He's a very, very, very bright guy.
Yeah, you can tell.
I don't know what IQs mean or what they are or who's got what, but I would imagine his is very, very high.
Yeah, super bright. Did another bit of work with Jean de Villiers.
Oh, yeah? He's meant to be lovely.
Yeah, real nice bloke.
Met him once, had breakfast with him once with Butch James, and he seemed lovely.
Really nice bloke. Mm. So we did a bit of a Q&A.
I hate that when really successful guys are like big and not out of shape and really nice.
I know, and good looking.
Good looking.
And wears a really good suit.
Kills me.
Loads of people asking where you were then, mate. Loads of fans. Mm. Loads of podcast fans. I just said, look, he's not got enough caps and he can't handle the heat. So that's just brutally honest.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true.
So a lot of pod listeners out there.
Well, now I'm at a point where I probably could generate some graft in Hong Kong, probably if I got the right people's numbers, if you shared it, but you don't. The truth is, I actually don't want to go to Hong Kong. I'd love the lash in air-conditioned nightclubs and bars, but because I'm a lad.
Yeah.
But it's too hot for me, mate. Like, Verbier genuinely was too hot for me. I'm not comfortable. And there's snow everywhere.
I mean, yeah, it was very hot, but luckily I was doing a bit of corporate, so all the boxes are air-conditioned.
Air-conned.
Yeah, so it wasn't too bad. I wore jeans and a shirt.
Did you have a good time?
Really good time. Do you know the worst thing that happened to me over there? Was on the Saturday of the Sevens, right?
Did somebody think you were Yul Brynner? No, carry on.
On the Saturday of the Sevens, I'd obviously had a few drinks. And when you have a few drinks, you get really hungry, don't you?
It was a few. 15, 16 pints?
Yeah, something like that. Gin and tonics.
Then you went out.
And they had a KFC in the stadium, right?
Ugh.
So I went and got a bucket, which was like 45 quid, 15-piece KFC bucket.
Went and got a bucket, I thought, yeah.
And I started eating it on the way back, and I couldn't manage all the chicken, so I started eating just the skins off it. Right?
Oh, mate.
I know.
Mate.
Listen up. And I bumped into an older lady who was one of the wives of one of the committee members of the Hong Kong Club, or the Aberdeen Marina Club. And her husband was quite well-to-do out there. And she stopped me, and she said hello, and I enjoyed the Q&A and stuff. And I was like, oh, great, just bought a bucket of chicken for the lads, they get hungry. And as I was talking, I noticed a bit of chicken come out, and I carried on talking. And as I looked
off your
up,
mouth.
Yeah. And as I looked up, right, I'm not joking, it was on the corner of her eye, just by her eyebrow. It was massive. It's a huge bit. And I was just going, oh my God. She must have felt
she knows, mate. She knew.
She did not move. That's how professional she was. I was just dying, right? And I made a real quick excuse. And said, right, anyway, I've got to take this back to the boys before it gets cold.
Anyway, chicken, bye.
Oh, my God, I was just staring at it. I was so embarrassed.
Terror.
I know, terror.
But
quite a few boys out there, mate.
Did you?
Yeah, nice chat to Steve Redgrave out there. I'm sorry to name drop.
Oops.
But I can't help it.
Liked him?
I said, look, mate, we're in the Cathay Pacific area. Upstairs, and I said, look, mate, if a load of people come up and ask for autographs, no, I'm sorry about it. I'm not being rude, but I'm here to do a job. They want to speak to me. They want some insight. But I said, out of the five gold medals you won in the five different Olympics, I said, I don't want to know anything about that. I want to know what it's like to win gladiators. Yeah, because he was against Matthew Pinson in the final.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And he did the job. Yeah.
Yeah.
They say that he's just a man of steel psychologically,
Yeah, but
he's a beast.
But I sort of got the impression that it was sort of fixed for him to win it.
Did you?
Yeah. Because they wanted, because he was leading by such a large amount of points, which equals seconds, don't they? Because he was so good on Powerball. And I think it was staged for him to win it.
Oh, right.
But that's not official.
But it is now.
That's not.
Well, that undermines all of his five Olympic golds in my mind.
But it was really a real nice bloke.
Who else did you meet?
Do you really want me to go through them?
I know, you've written a list, I can see it. You're such a dropsy. You're just a dropsy Ojo.
Ian McGeechan. Sir Ian McGeechan.
Geech.
Yeah. Michael Liner.
Mike.
Christian Cullen.
I'll stop.
Simon Shaw. We're in a place called
Shaw Spray.
Lang Phi Quang. And Shaw's this massive bloke, isn't he? He's getting loads of attention. I kept doing all that. I kept going, Ladies and gentlemen, Martin Johnson is in the house. So I just kept doing that, right? The next day we were watching the Tens, because they have an amateur Tens tournament, right? That runs alongside, and that was at one of the Hong Kong football club, I think it was. Or rugby club. Or cricket club.
Whatever.
I get confused, yeah. And we went for a team poo.
Yeah.
Me and Shorzy.
Yeah.
And I think
separate cubicles.
Oh, yeah.
Mm, you're animals.
Yeah, we won't do that again. And I finished before him because obviously I'm not smaller.
Yeah. It just takes longer for it to get there with him, doesn't it? Yeah. Sitting down and standing up takes half an hour.
He does it. We were in there. I finish, leave, wash my hands thoroughly. And the toilet's quite busy. And I've just gone, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to meet him, Simon Shaw, Wasps, Bristol, British and Irish Lions legend, is in cubicle 2 having a shit. If you form a queue, he will sign autographs when he gets out.
And did they?
He was in there for about 10 minutes. He said he didn't have time to wash his hands.
Oh, no.
Oh, so Thomas Castagnet bumped into him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely, lovely man.
All out there, mate. All out there. Bentos. John Bentley's out there.
Bentos.
David Tricks out there. We actually watched one of the games. It was Bath Leicester.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Watched that in a pub called the White Stag, yeah.
Oh, well done.
I had to drop Warren Gatland home as well. Well, not home. When we got off the flight, he was with Rob Howley.
Howlers?
Yeah. And
did Rob Howley ever say anything to you anything to you about when you slagged him off on this podcast a few times?
I haven't. At all.
Okay, of course you haven't. Okay.
He knows it's just banter. anyway, Rob, yeah, so we've both done this drive and fly. So Rob Howley's car comes first, so he's grinning like anything. Car pulls up, puts his bags in, gets in the car. Only got a flat tyre, hasn't he?
Doesn't that just sum it?
Yeah. So
hang on, why are they in Hong Kong, HSBC?
No, they're doing stuff with BT out there. Big guess of BT.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I popped in the box to see them.
Yeah, but they're overjoyed with that.
Yeah. Yeah, Rob Howley, he needs some moisturiser, though.
Does he?
Yeah. He turned up and, honestly, it's like, he had, like, Parmesan cheese nose. You know, when you flick it and all this Parmesan comes off. Mm. But he's on real good form. But anyway, so, and Gatlin needs to go to this hotel in Heathrow. So I said, look, mate, I'll drop you there. So jumped in the car, dropped him at the hotel, and he told me he's Lions captain.
Mm. Yeah, it's good to be back, is it?
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
So it's a good trip, mate.
Oh, well done. Did you feel broken when you came
Fiji
back?
Won the tournament.
Did they?
Yeah.
Didn't even watch. Should watch, really.
Mm.
Oh, no, I did see it, because I saw them celebrating in the changing rooms afterwards on Twitter, which is really nice.
My mates went to the South Stands. I had a few mates out there who just come for the crack, the bucket list job.
Yeah.
And they were in the notorious South Stand where they have to queue at, like, 7:30 in the morning. So we're all staying in the same hotel, we're all sharing rooms, and they pile in at like 6:30 in the morning, waking me up. I didn't have to be there till like 11. I don't have much sleep as it is, and they were jumping on me and stuff.
Mm.
Broke me. So after like 2 or 3 jumped on me, third person come in, my mate Jenko come in. They obviously said, go on, jump on him. I just flipped, haven't I?
Did you lose the plot?
Yeah.
Man strong again.
I got up, and went, and I sort of said, you're right, that's it. And as I got up, I got real bad cramp. Honestly, like, I got real bad cramp in my hamstrings. I had to wait like about 10 seconds and then I chucked him off.
Then you filled him in.
Over the suitcase. But my hamstring was killing all day then. Lack of salt.
Yeah, so you got injured.
That's why I had KFC.
Sweat, you see.
Mm.
Sweat.
Yeah, so that was Hong Kong, mate.
Well, but did you feel broken when you got back, like liver job?
Not too bad. Not
fatigue?
Too bad. Yeah, a little bit tired, but just get on with it, don't you?
Crack on.
It's more of a long burn than a short and sharp. Mm. You know, you're not necking shots. You're not like in a dentist chair and trying to get as pissed as you can in like 3 or 4 hours. I didn't drink until 12 p.m. because I'm not an alcoholic and nor am I from Glasgow.
Mm.
So,
I wonder how many of our listeners you've just offended.
I have standards. This is a joke, isn't it?
All right. I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you're back safe.
Mm.
Did you keep in touch with the rugger while you were away?
Yeah, of course.
Of course you did, mate.
Yeah.
Of course you did. Like, loads me and Verbier, it's all I looked at.
Yeah.
Do you know, when I was away, I just had a rule, because I live on my phone, you know, and I'm a bit of an addict. And then I said, right, every time we leave the house, my phone is not leaving the chalet for a week. And it didn't. It never left the chalet for a week. It stayed in the chalet. Never took it out during the day. Someone else took pictures. I'm not checking stuff during the day. And every single day, I missed a really important email.
Yeah.
And it was time sensitive. Like, we're moving house, and it was like, right, for the mortgage, you need to do this by... I'm leaving at 4 o'clock. I'm going away for 2 weeks.
It's a pretty crap idea then, isn't it?
It's a rubbish idea. Rubbish, I ain't doing that again.
Where can we see the photos anyway?
Of the house?
Yeah. No, of your skiing trip.
Oh. So you went...
Insta?
No, I don't think I posted any.
Okay.
I might have posted one. I'm sure my wife's done it on Facebook.
Is she on Facebook?
I expect so. I don't know.
I've searched, but I haven't seen her yet.
You can find them. You can find them.
I'll have a proper look later. Yeah, be my mission tonight.
Something to do.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, so every week we have Bet of the Week. Leo Vegas partner us on this podcast.
Mm.
And we have to put a bet on weekly as to who we think are going to win. You know, you can get on the website, onto leovegas.com. You can have a look at this bet. If we win, the proceeds go to charity.
Children in Need, boy.
That's it, that's it. And we've been pretty successful so far. Now, we're torn this weekend. We're going to bet on Claremont v Leinster, which is at the Stade Gerland.
Yeah.
Do you want to play there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, yeah. They love it, don't they?
Oignacs.
Lyon.
Yeah.
That's what you had for me, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for that.
I googled it earlier on Yahoo. but I'm going to go... Now, you think Leinster are going to win.
Leinster are going to win, yeah.
Now, I'm going Claremont by four.
I'm going Leinster by four.
Okay. But
what do you want to do?
Overruled.
You're overruling me.
Well, I'm the techie, aren't I?
Yes.
I can cut this as to how I want.
Yeah. All right. Go with yours.
Yeah, I can put a different voice on you if you want. Put a more manly voice if you like.
Would you?
Okay, so we are going Leinster. We're not going Leinster. We're going Claremont by 4 points.
Claremont by four
that
points.
That is our bet.
Good luck to you.
Putting it on.
Think about the kids. Good luck to you.
If you do go on their website, you know, make sure you're over 18. Bet responsibly. Have to say that.
Yeah. I concur with that stuff.
Right, so you got back on Friday.
Yeah.
Cab straight to Quinn's.
Yeah.
Stay night in London?
No. No, commentated on that and came home...
Yeah, you're really biased. Why are you so biased, mate?
we got a bit of stick. Someone said that the commentary was pro-London, he said, from an Exeter fan. Which is funny, because I a couple of weeks ago was...
You love Exeter as
tweeted
well.
...tweeted by a couple of people saying you're biased towards Exeter. It's like, why would I be biased? I never played for them. Like, I can understand people accusing me of my old club, but they're not my old club. But Ugo got a bit of stick. People do. The thing is, we get called, all of us, every single one of us, gets called biased by people from every single Premiership club. So not every week, but regularly people say nice things. Regularly people will say you're biased towards them. And it's, sometimes it can be completely random. It's like, that's why you hate Newcastle. And like, Worcester were appalling a few weeks ago, and I said so. They've been really good since, and I've said so every week. And then I say something on TV on Sunday night, and someone, some bloke, perfectly nice bloke, I'm sure, tweets me saying, that's a bit of a turnaround. Thanks, you know, finally you've seen the light. It's like, no, it's not. When they're crap, I say so, if I think they're crap. When they're good, I say so. I'm just not worried about it. But I mean, I now and again, when people come on and just cast their opinions like fact, that annoys me a bit. Just no humility from these muppets who've got it wrong anyway.
You can get counselling for stuff like this.
Yeah, I know. You know.
Exeter come good in the end, mind.
Yeah, and at first,
Lockie Turner, last minute replacement.
How did he not get man of the match?
What a try.
I know, but how did he not get man of the match? It's a joke. Who was commentating on that?
Who did you pick?
Ollie Woodburn.
Yeah.
He was really good, mate.
Because of the tail.
The tail.
Yeah.
I would say that over the 80 minutes, Ollie Woodburn contributed significantly more, but Lockie Turner was fab.
For those of you that have joined in this podcast, you know, halfway through, you know, maybe in episode 14 or 15, Flats tells a story about Ollie Woodburn when his little daughter seen him in the shower and she thought he had a
tail. Go back and listen to it because it'll be on. It's part of the title. You'll know which one it is.
He had a tail. There's relevance behind it.
It's getting away.
Just stolen the joke, haven't I?
Yeah, well then. So that was so 50, 55 minutes. That was a brilliant game. Could have gone either way. Really loose.
How good was Henry Slade's take when the kick was put through, but then to put it on his boot and his quick thinking to kick it ahead?
Class. Absolute class. And his...
That's natural. That's instinct.
Yeah, and his instinct to create a two-on-one down the left flank, which led to a try, led to a try for somebody I've forgotten. It might be Ewers. I've forgotten anyway. It was a week
ago. Yeah, I think Ewers dives over at the end, doesn't he?
Yeah, powers through. So that was just class. But he didn't have his best game, Henry Slade. He was really up and down. He made a few mistakes off the boot. And I love watching
That's
him
because
play.
That, I see a lot of James Hook when James Hook first burst onto the scene. Because he is so versatile. You know, he's played 13, he's played 12, he's played 10. That's the thing. If you want to burst into that England team and secure your spot, I personally believe you have to be playing one position for your club in week in, week out. It's hard because Steenson is such a solid player at 10, but he has to find a position. And the good thing is he'll always be involved because he is versatile, so he can cover three positions, maybe four. So he'll always be in the mix. But to actually nail down a position, you have to be playing it every week.
Yeah.
IMO.
IYO. But what undoubtedly I think Exeter Chiefs look better with Henry Slade at 12 or 13 and Steenson at 10.
Agreed, David.
No question. However, they are a club that doesn't just go Saturday to Saturday. They look at it kind of holistically. They always have. They've retained the right people and gradually acquired the right people in terms of playing staff. I think they're a long-term kind of club.
Their goal is to play a team that is from Exeter.
Yeah, but they also want, when Steenson goes in a couple of seasons, whenever he goes, because he's not getting any younger, who is? I hate that saying, no one's getting any younger, but I think they want Henry
Slade to play.
They want Henry... I wasn't doing anything.
All right, sorry.
I think they want Slade to play 10 long-term, so does he. And he's a fabulous 10 quite often, but he didn't have a great game the other night. That happens. I'll tell you, two guys who were fan-blimmin-tastic.
Joe Marler.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Best I've ever seen him play. He wasn't scoring tries and making loads of runs. It was like 14 carries for 10 metres total.
He was aggressive, though. Really aggressive in the tackle. Really aggressive carrying.
He was on one, mate. And his defence was...
Do you reckon someone's had a little word in his ear to say, look, you're in their thoughts... You need a big game tonight. If you get a big game, you're in.
I got told by someone in a position of relative authority that...
Mark Mapletoft?
Mum. No, I got told by someone, whoever it was, that it was a straight shootout for the third choice loosehead berth amongst Marler, Kian Healy and Rob Evans of Wales.
Okay.
With Mako and McGrath already on the plane.
So not Gethin Jenkins?
No.
Okay.
So that's what I got told, and I think maybe that Joe had that in mind.
I tell you what, this Lions selection is a lot like Broadchurch, and who did it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, everyone. Everyone's on the plane until like the final episode.
And it's Tuesday night here, so we shouldn't go too far into Lions, because in about...
Warburton's going to be captain.
15 minutes after people listen to this, or it will be irrelevant, basically.
I reckon Warburton's captain.
So do I.
I sort of thought Alan Wynn was going to be captain to start with. I'm not sure his injury has played any factor in that, because Warburton's injured as well. But what I want to say about Warby is we tipped him at the start of the Six Nations to have a big tournament, because he relinquished the captaincy.
Got taken away, he didn't relinquish it.
Yeah.
He lost it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tomato. And, you know, there's a lot of doubters with him. A lot of people didn't think he should play in the start of Six Nations because they had Faletau, and well, Faletau was injured, so he ended up playing. But for him to come back, and that mental strength and toughness he's shown from, you know, not playing the best rugby to absolutely having a stormer, and to prove all the doubters wrong, is incredible. He will lead on and off that field like nothing else. There'd be no ammunition on him whatsoever. He's like the Gary Lineker of rugby.
He'd win the Fair Play Award at the end of the series.
Yeah.
And still be one of the best players. He is fab. He's the man. He's a hero. He's got lovely biceps and he's got a great personality. And he loves charity. He's got it all. I agree with you entirely. I think his stock rose during the Six Nations. I don't think Alan Wynne did. Still think Alan Wynne goes. But right now, I'm actually thinking in my mind, you might well start with Cruz and Itoji in the second row.
Do you know what?
I feel like I've changed that a bit.
Do you know another benefit of having Warby captain is that he doesn't play just from one position. He plays six as well. Mm. So if you want to shuffle things around a little bit, if you want to...
He can stay on.
Potentially bring Tipperick in, or, you know, CJ Stander at seven, or Sean O'Brien, whoever is another seven, he could then move to six. So,
are you surprised that... I know I said we wouldn't go too deep into this, but... Let's assume the newspapers are right and George Ford is not going. Are you surprised?
Well, it depends who the other 10 is going to be.
Oh, well, it's going to be Sexton and Farrell. Let's say it's bigger. Are you surprised George isn't going?
Not hugely. I think Sexton has to go. I think Farrell unbelievably has to go. So it's a toss-up then between Bigger, Ford and Finn Russell. So I don't think... any of those will feature in the test. I think it'll be Sexton and Farrell. And if one of those is injured, if Sexton's injured, Farrell will move to 10. So, horses for courses, really.
All right.
Are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay, good.
No.
So, Northampton, Saracens. Good game. Were you there?
I was there and at the Stadium MK, which is a great stadium. I really like it, and the whole setup there is really, really good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I love Franklin's Gardens, but it's almost like if Franklin's Gardens were a dump, you'd say.
So how many more can you fit in the MK Don?
I think it's 28 or something.
What, more?
No.
Okay.
So what's that?
Another 10,000 maybe.
10 or 12,000 more, 13,000 more, something like that.
So commercially, it's a.
Yeah, and it was fantastic. It's a great stadium. Everything about it, I think, was really, really good. Amazing game. It was a game that I was talking to...
Was it a game of 2 hours?
Literally. I was talking to... who was I talking to? George Cruz at the end of the game. And I was talking to Paul Diggin, the old Saints winger. And
he's got a bit of timber, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a stocky boy, isn't he? He doesn't look in bad nick, though. Anyway, George Cruz, first game back, 80 minutes. Brilliant. He's going to the lines, no problem. Great lad as well. And I said, Saracens find a way to win. And Northampton find a way to lose at the moment. They just find a way to lose these games.
Yeah, I got a question from Twitter, right, from a guy called Chin Bob.
Mm.
I'm assuming he's got a cool tar chin or Kelly Osborne chin.
Skull that floats.
Jamie Roberts chin. It says, Harry Mallander is the good in attack.
Mm.
I think he means very. But his defence lets him down. Can young pros improve defence to top class over a career? I don't think his defence is that bad, but yeah, you can. I mean, positionally, you can improve it.
Yeah.
You know, it's very hard to make someone who doesn't want to tackle, tackle, because it's a mindset thing, really, isn't it? You know, you either want to tackle or
Do you want to collide or not?
Yeah.
You quite enjoyed it, didn't you?
Do you want to make a tackle or not? If you want to make a tackle, you know, more likely you're going to make that tackle. But positionally, yeah, you can improve, because... It is a lot different, you know, positionally from 10 to 12. 12 to 13 and 15 as well. You know, he plays, he's very versatile, so he, every time he plays that new position he has to switch on.
Yeah.
And it's quite difficult, you know, over chasing, lining your man up, but these are the things you can improve through training easily.
Yeah.
And you know, you work on them more in training, then when you come to the game, you know, that automatic pilot comes on and you realise your feet in the wrong position, or you're showing too much of an inside and you can adjust. So yeah, 100% you can improve.
And he's a lovely player.
And he wants to tackle, and he's a big bloke as well.
Yeah. That's why I sort of think he's a big bloke. He should by rights be knocking people about sooner rather than later. I think he'd be looking like someone like Jamie Roberts, who, you know, he could well be one of the headlines of this line selection if he goes. You watch him defend every week and he's a
good or bad headline.
Well, I think it sounds like he's going. Again, a lot of this you're listening to at home will be outdated by the time you hear it, but it sounds like he's going. But watching his defence since he joined Quinns, he defends, he hits proper hard. Like, he's a proper...
Do you know what really annoys me about him?
What?
Yeah, I agree, he's really brave. All the time he puts his body in the line because he just runs into brick walls all the time. Mm. But the most annoying thing is that you look at him, he doesn't really have to put that much effort in to tackle because he's such a big bloke and so strong that even like a 60% tackle knocks people back.
Yeah.
Whilst me or you, you know, we'd have to really put 100% in to knock someone. You know, he looks like he's just...
He's got that timing.
He looks like he's just dragging his arm and all of a sudden it connects with someone's chest and
bang.
They're on the back.
Yeah.
He suplexed them.
Yeah. So, what are we talking about? Malinder. Yeah. Lovely player. It was a fascinating game. So, the major incident at the end, Saracens are 8 points behind. Saints are going to do it. It's fantastic. Well done them. And then Billy Vunipola, Sarries are chasing it with a few minutes left. Billy Vunipola throws a big loop pass off his left hand. Foden, coming in from the left wing, jumps up and pats the ball up in the air. Not a deliberate knock-on. He's trying to catch it, but it goes up in the air. And as he's standing underneath it, waiting for it to come down, Skulk Brits nails him, tackles him. Everyone in the ground pretty much thinks he's tackled a man without the ball because he's tapped up in the air.
Yeah.
The ball is in the air. Can't tackle him. He hasn't got the ball. So everyone goes nuts. The decision is given as a knock-on scrum Sarries, right? Instead of a penalty to Saints.
So now, the initial thing would have been a knock-on, but because he was tackled out the air, that's cancelled and it becomes a penalty.
This is the way the referee's assistants and the assessors, whatever, explained it to me afterwards. If you run towards me with the ball, I go to tackle you, and you just throw it up in the air like a chip and chase, but with your hands, over my head, run around me and catch it. By the logic people are talking about, he didn't have the ball, it means that that becomes legal. As long as you don't drop it or it doesn't hit anyone else and become a knock-on,
okay,
you can do that. Now, it's intentional versus accidental, that's fine.
I remember Brian O'Driscoll doing that for Leinster a while ago.
Maybe. Yeah. But you can't do that. Anyway, so what happens... So decision is Ben Foden going to catch that ball? Does the referee feel he will definitely have caught... They would definitely have caught that ball had Brits not tackled him? If the answer is yes, he was definitely catching it and Brits took him out, penalty Saints. I think I'm right here. It was quite complicated. If the answer is I'm not confident he was going to catch it anyway, was Brits to be removed from the situation, removed from the picture, it becomes a knock-on.
Okay.
The referee did not feel confident Foden would have caught it. I felt confident Foden would have caught it. So I think that it's one of those things that I think it... Really, on reflection, way easier from where we're sitting and where we're sitting now. I do think Matthew Carley was the ref.
Muddy water, though, isn't it?
Really muddy water. I actually hammered him for something in a game the other week, and I was completely wrong. And he walked up to me the week after and said, you battered me on telly for this. And I was like, right, explain that to me. And I was like, right, okay, I apologise for that. And I mentioned it on telly kind of thing. He's really good fun. And he was laughing about it. Of course I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, sort of.
He doesn't watch it anyway, does he?
He don't watch it, mate. He just watches himself and fast forward, didn't he, with the sound off. So, yeah, so it was a really complicated one, and I still now feel like the decision wasn't right. Anyway, that completely changed the game. There was only a few minutes left, and of course, these decisions at the end of games are given way more weight in terms of importance than the ones at the beginning, but actually, a decision that leads to the try after 5 minutes is no different from a decision that leads to a try with 5 minutes left.
No, it affects the game one way or other.
Yes. Yeah, so
the butterfly effect, you ever watch that?
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah. So Sarries kick the points from a resulting scrum to them.
Yeah.
You know, so it's scrum put in Sarries when perhaps it should have been a penalty to Northampton in the eyes of lots of fans. It was really, really tough. And it ended up, Sarries scored at the end, it ends up costing Saints the win.
Zalski's break.
was yes.
really good, mate.
Yeah, he's real good.
He is real good. And
he's a tough boy as well.
No, yeah, Bosch finished that pretty well as well.
Yeah, that Lazowski is a guy who wants to collide.
Mm.
Not with ball in hand. If you run at him, he wants to collide with you.
Yeah.
And you just cannot. It's so hard to put
He doesn't look the biggest bloke, but his body position and technique.
He's not the biggest bloke. I think he's really strong. Like Johnny Wilkinson isn't really big. Just real strong, good timing. And he's just got intent. He's got the intent. And it's so hard, as you know, it's so hard to put that into somebody. You know, there are some great players who play international rugby that don't have that.
No.
You know, you can't, like George Ford is...
That eye of the tiger.
What a wonderful player, especially going forward. Wonderful player. I love watching him for Bath at Twickenham last week. I thought he was fab.
Mm.
But he doesn't have that. He's a small bloke who plays like a small bloke.
Yeah, and he's targeted a lot as well.
Yeah,
Tio targeted him a lot on the weekend.
Lazowski's bigger, but he's not that much bigger. He's not Jamie Roberts standing next to George Ford. He's probably 10 kilos heavier, if that, but he's got the intent, you know. But it was a fascinating game, and I did feel for the Saints fans. But Sarri's just, man, they just find a way.
They rest a lot of players as well, because they got Munster.
Yeah, it's partly Munster, and partly they had to pick a game to rest loads of the England players, because in the 3 weeks after the Six Nations, the England players have to have a game off.
Yeah.
So they chose that game. So they basically sent half a second team and still won.
Wasps still top. Does it mean now they've got a home semi-final in the playoffs?
Yes.
So they don't see it looks like it could be Leicester, doesn't it? Potentially their fourth.
Yes.
But they beat Bristol.
Do you know what, mate?
21.
Leicester went to Wasps. Was it last season or two seasons ago? My memory. Last season, I think. Went to the Rico, completely up against it, and beat Wasps when Wasps were in form. I love watching Wasps play. I love watching Cipriani, Gopeth, Robson, Simpson, Wade, all those guys. Like Kirtley Beal is my favourite player in the league.
Number 12 is his position. Michael Checker's got him to go back next year to play second 5-8.
Him and Pickemoles and Francois Lowe are just like, I just think they're just mega. But I just cannot see Wasps winning the league. I just can't see it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I still say Sarri's.
Mm.
I think Sarri's might end up going to Exeter. And do you know what? Much as I love the Chiefs and I'm biased towards them, as someone said, but Sarri's my old club, so I'm biased towards them as well. I actually think Sarri's go to Chiefs and win. They're with the first team out. They are so good.
Do you want to annoy me a little bit about Bristol? They scored a couple of tries, but...
Well, Bristol now, are we?
Yeah. Wasps Bristol was the fact that when Wasps were making breaks towards the end of the game, there's probably 15, 20 minutes left, the ball was going wide... The Bristol players just switched off. You know, a lot were walking, a lot weren't shutting the gate, you know, running across the cover. There was no real desperation there. I know it must be difficult because this is the game they officially go down, but they must have known this is coming, you know, especially after the first few weeks at the start of the Premiership. You know, they knew it was going to be a tough battle. But these are things you can't coach. You can't coach attitude. You can't coach commitment. You know, these players weren't really shut. There's quite a few that were just walking back. Not covering the gate at all, not chasing after players, just letting them run through once the ball had gone past them. And that annoyed me a little bit because these players are still going to look for contracts next year.
Yeah.
And coaches will look at that and they'll see that. And they want players that have got good attitudes. Of course, they have to be skillful and they have to have natural talent, but they've got to have the right attitude as well.
Yeah.
And they will pick up on that. If a ball goes past, you know, if a coach is looking at this Bristol team and, you know, Wasps are easily going to win this, they'll still look at players that they could pick up. They've got a good attitude, that are chasing back hard, which are putting it in.
Yeah.
And I didn't see that the weekend. I know it must be tough for him, but you've got to represent yourself as well on the field.
Yeah, Bristol is... So there's loads of stuff going on at Bristol from what I hear. Now, what the sort of stuff I'm going to say now, I've said a lot of it on Twitter and on telly already and whatever... This is all anecdotal, so I haven't been in the meetings. There are a few people at Bristol that I know. So the person I know the very best at Bristol is Mark Bakewell, the forwards coach. I would class him as a great friend of mine. You know, I love him.
And I'm not saying, my point on that, right, is I'm not saying it's a coach's thing. I'm saying it's a player's attitude.
I know, I agree with
stuff
you.
Stuff you can't coach.
I agree with you. And often the best players are not actually the best players. They're the guys with the best attitudes. That's, you know, you can't tell me that Tom Wood is... significant, or Chris Robshaw is significantly more gifted than anyone that plays at Bristol. They are gifted players, but they're not. They are machines. They are gifted in terms of psyche. That's what I think. They're gifted in terms of attitude. They're machines. And anyway, My point is, it's kind of long-winded. I've heard a lot of stuff that's coming out of Bristol at the moment, and there is an automatic assumption that I would have, because everyone knows I love Mark Bakewell, because I don't disguise that, and I'm openly biased towards him, that people will assume that I've spoken to Bakes about it. Now, I spoke to Bakes for about 45 minutes this afternoon,
yeah,
while I was doing the washing up and the kids were on the trampoline, and we made a point at the beginning of the phone call. I said, "How's it going?" He goes, "Mate, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on." He actually said to me, "I'd do me a favour, mate, and don't ask me too much about it, because I don't want to be in an awkward situation with a pal." And I'd already said, I texted him, saying, "I'm not going to ask about all the stuff I'm going to talk about now." So if he had told me everything, I would probably deny it to save him. But equally, I wouldn't sit here and mention it now. But he hasn't told me everything, because I don't want him to get into trouble. But I do know a lot of other people at Bristol. There are 6 or 7 or 8 guys I know there well in the club on the outside who are lovely people. And Bristol have, a couple of weeks ago or a week, wherever it was, I'm just going to say allegedly, just in case we get sued.
Are we getting to a point now?
They're sacking people by email. They're emailing agents, sacking people. They say you've got directors of rugby or head coaches, whatever they are, or chairman, whatever they are, walking past players on, let's just call it a Monday or a Tuesday. A Tuesday afternoon, walking past players, "How you doing?" "Yeah, good, good, good." And the boys are waking up to a phone call from their agent saying, "I've been emailed, you're no longer a Bristol player, you're not going in today, you're done. There's your money, go."
Do you know what that reminds me of?
What?
Alan Partridge, Pear Tree Productions.
Pear Tree Productions.
Yeah, sacks everyone, doesn't he?
Not best practice.
Of the intercom.
Yeah, so yeah. That's it. That's what it's like. So you've got you'll make a joke of it, yeah?
No.
So they've also sacked the kit man and the team manager. I'm not saying, look, yeah, now and again, I've been saying for a year or the whole season that Bristol's squad is comfortably a third too large.
Mm.
Now, you have to cut those players. There are ways to do it, you know. If they're given... One guy tweeted me and said, if they paid them all the money, who cares? Holiday starts early. That's not the point. You've got guys like Jarvis, who's played 150 games for the club. You've got Carl Traynor, who's played nearly 100 games in the front row. You've got...
But also, mate, like
Ben Mosses, who got them promoted. These guys have been binned by email.
But, you know, if you pay for the rest of the season and you let go now, at least you've got more opportunity to try and find another club rather than...
Yeah, but Janko, bring him in and have a chat with him and say, it's gutless. It's gutless. And it's absolutely...
No, I'm not saying about the way he's done it, but
typical of the way Bristol's been run. And then you've got people saying to... This is all reportedly, allegedly, what I've been told by people around the place, OK?
Yeah, names.
And you've got people going up to Mark Tainton and saying, I'm injured, you've sacked me, that's fine, you've paid me, that's fine, I don't like the way you've done it, but first of all, why didn't you mention it yesterday when you saw me in the corridor 4 times?
You must know
it was happening, it's gutless. And then, and also, and he said, oh, it was the board, it wasn't me, it was the board. So he blames the board. And then you go and speak to the board, and the board's like, oh, didn't Tainton tell you? He was supposed to tell you. It's all that sort of crap, you know? Budget crap. And
blame culture.
What it means is, a couple of things. What it means is that everybody who remains knows that these guys who are running their club and who hold at least their professional destiny in their hands to a point don't handle things properly, don't handle things, I'm going to say like men, but like women, like, you know, whatever, like good people.
Yeah.
You know, people on the board saying this is what happens in big business all the time. Bollocks. It doesn't. It doesn't happen in good businesses. You know, my wife, for example, works for a great business, a huge business. They would never, ever, ever sack someone like that, ever. Primarily because you leave yourself open.
It's an easy option, mate, isn't it? It's just you can just hide behind an email.
Yeah, but if you're bright, you don't do it that way.
I'm agreeing with you, mate.
Yeah, and chill so out. We've also got players who are injured being sacked.
Yeah.
Saying, well, I'm going to go and get a job somewhere else, so that's fine, but I need to train for another couple of weeks so I can be declared fit, otherwise no one will give me a contract. And Bristol saying, allegedly, saying, no, can't commit to that, sorry. It's like, you are absolutely shafting these guys.
But also, you know, word will get out about how they go about it, and, you know, how does that inspire new players to come to the club if they hear about stuff like that?
Why would you go there? Absolutely no chance.
Oh, yeah, by the way, you come to us, we'll pay you this amount of money, but you know, we might sack you by email halfway through the season.
Yeah, and the whole thing about, well, as long as you get the money, who cares? I tell you, not that I've had a proper job for very long, but we spend a lot of time around people who have real jobs and in different businesses with brands and whatever. And rugby, professional rugby is... there is a huge amount of emotion invested in professional rugby because anyone can get up and train. Lots of people are talented. What you give for each other physically, it's not like going to war. I won't compare it with that, but it is not like going to work at an office with a big pitch coming up. It's like having the biggest pitch of your life every Saturday for 15 years with a band of brothers. And as soon as someone at the top, you know, as soon as your friends, your pals, your kind of real buddies are treated like that,
yeah.
Do you know what? There'll be lads at that club now who they're loyal. If they had any loyalty, these people have damaged it.
My point about being sacked now and getting paid the rest of the season is that it might not be a bad thing, regardless of the way they've done it, because you're getting off a sinking ship. You've got far more time to potentially find a new club rather than right at the end of the season when squads
are... It's April, mate. I mean, people are signing in January. Well, yeah. You know,
but you've got longer.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, absolutely. So, clinical point of view, but I'm now hearing things about legal action being taken against the club. Yeah. And then all that's... You know, I just wonder how these guys will receive this news, because it will come out in the paper. I wonder how the board or the chairman or whatever will receive this news. Will they say, hang on, let's have a look at our process. Have we got this right and treat these people properly?
Yeah.
And built on what's meant to be a great family club? Or are they going to spend the rest of their month trying to find out who told the journo from inside the club?
Yeah.
It's like, you're wasting your time, lad. Don't, you know, so anyway, I just think it's a massive shame. They've handled things really, really poorly from the start, and I'm not convinced from what I hear from the inside that they have the humility or the perspective to step back and say, we've balls this up, how do we fix it? Let's look at clubs that handle it properly. Let's look at Sarries. Let's have some coffees with some people from Sarries and find out how to do things properly, because they've balls it up.
Yeah, we'll have to move on, otherwise we'll have no time to talk about anything else.
And I'm crying my eyes out.
Leicester beat Newcastle, pretty standard.
Ellis Genge sparked a bit of controversy. Yeah.
Ben Youngs looked really good at night. Yeah. What a great try. I went to Judgment Day at the Principality Stadium.
I heard that was brilliant.
The first game was really good. It was the Blues versus the Ospreys. Now, the Blues haven't beaten the Ospreys in 7 years.
Really?
A long time, yeah. Long time. But they just looked like a different team completely. They've been bubbling away recently. You know, there's a good first half against... Gloucester a few weeks ago. Then they played pretty well against Ulster. I think they drew that game, but all of a sudden they looked a completely different team. Like, Nick Williams was amazing.
I love him.
Cuthbert carried really well.
Great.
They scored a try just off a steady scrum. Cuthbert off nine, straight over the gain line. Nick Williams round the corner, no one stopping him. Try.
TRY time, Eddie.
TRY time. Yeah. Ray Lilo's looking good in the centre.
What does Ray Lilo use?
Ellis Jenkins.
What does Ray Lilo use on swimming pools to like flirt around when he's on holiday?
A rubber ring, not a Lilo.
Okay.
Ellis Jenkins, number 7.
Yeah, sharp, eh?
Yeah, man of the match, really good over the ball. Gareth Anscombe, really good at 10. I expected a little bit more from the Ospreys. They didn't have their greatest game, but Blues were just physical. They played with width. It was really good to see. It's a really good game.
Yeah.
And obviously because I'm a bit of a Blues fan as well.
You're biased.
Yeah. But, you know, it was a bad showing from the Ospreys. They are a better team than that. But you can only play what's in front of you, mate.
Yeah, that's true, great mate. I heard it was bumping down there, though.
And it was good. I reckon it's about 60,000 there. And then
good.
The Dragons, Scarlets, a lot of people left that game. They obviously just come to see their team. I think probably a lot of the Ospreys left in disgust because
it wasn't their finest
80 minutes. But you know, Scarlets did a pretty decent job against the Dragons, not too much. But what we need is more teams, you know, climb up the table to get into this Champions Cup next year, because at the moment Scarlets are third, Ospreys are a fourth. The Dragons are down the bottom. The Blues won't get in. Only 7 teams get in this league.
Yeah,
you see, into chat, and one of them has to be from Ireland. One has to be from Italy. So, you know, whoever's in 7th place, I think, is the Blues at the moment. They'll lose their place to Treviso or Zebra.
Because
you have
right.
to have an Irish representation in that.
It ain't right, is it?
But you know, Scarlets and Ospreys, if they can stay in the top 4, at least they're in a playoff chance.
Yeah,
to win the league. So. It's all good. Okay. There was actually one question from Mick Fahilly. I think his name is.
Oh, yeah. Whatever his name
on
is.
On Twitter. Is Jason Woodward likely to stay on at Bristol? Or a big club snap him up?
So that's an interesting one, because I know the answer and I've genuinely forgotten it, which is really professional. I think
he's too good a player.
Do you know what?
To drop down.
I'll tell you what I heard.
Go on.
I don't know what's happening. They may have sorted it and he may be staying, whatever. And actually, as a kind of a, believe it or not, kind of a lover of Bristol rugby and someone who really wants to do well, I really hope they manage to keep him, because he's been brilliant. But I heard that he was keen to stay and do the job and get the boys back up and loves it there. And then some stuff went down at the club, like the way they treated people. And he was like,
yeah.
And the people I know at Bristol and around Bristol were saying, why would he stay? Why would he stay? When he's got offers from other clubs, offers from big clubs.
Yeah.
He could go anywhere. I mean, he could pick his club probably. He's that good.
The Gloucester 15 from New Zealand.
Tom Marshall.
Great game.
Well good.
Yeah.
Well good game.
Best game I've seen him play.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if he was fast enough for 15, but it looked like he was gliding.
Right? Well good. He looked really, really, really sharp. And yeah. Atkinson at 12 for Gloucester as well.
Just quickly, before you go on to questions, Munster Saracens at the Viva at the weekend.
What do you want from me?
Who's going to win? I'm going Saracens.
So am I.
Tight though. Claremont, Leinster. You're saying Leinster.
I'm saying Leinster.
I'm saying Claremont. Right.
Yeah. I want Nick Abendanen to get man of the match, but Leinster to win.
Question time, big boy.
Question time. I got one here from Stephen Jenkins.
Okay.
And it's about, what was Daffod Jones wearing for Judgment Day commentary? Horror.
I've not seen it.
Oh, no.
I've not seen it. It was
he was
on S4C.
Yeah.
And I was obviously watching the game live, so I wasn't watching it on TV, so I haven't seen it.
But yeah.
I've heard. I'm not actually sure what he was wearing. Old fish lips.
Fish lips, is it?
Yeah. I do an impression of him now. Like,
well, if only you could see this, guys.
Yeah. No.
You're just like a fish.
Mm. Yeah, no, I heard it wasn't the greatest, so we'll...
Got another one on email from Johnny Owen, and the comment was the Wasp v Northampton game the first top-tier fixture where both DOR's sons were playing? Probably not, is it? Did you play with anyone, age group rugby, etc., whose dad was coach and they selected their son even if they weren't up to it? And
ooh.
I read this question earlier and thought, because I'm really professional, and I thought of an answer. England, and I may have told this before on the pod, so I'll keep it brief, but you lose track, don't you, when all you do is talk. And England schools final trial, probables against possibles, so A's against B's. Yeah. Alex Sanderson, now Sarri's coach, was an absolute monster at that age. So he was vicious, really powerful, really aggressive. Used to just nail people for fun. Like, way physical beyond his years, you know. And he was clearly the best six. And we got to the naming the teams. And I think it was a guy called Ed Hallett who was at six.
Okay.
And he was the son of someone who I think was called Tony Hallett, who was something like the chairman of the RFU, something like that.
Not Timmy?
Not, no.
Okay.
No, not Mallett Hallett. So I think this is right. Now, at some point, someone who knows Ed Hallett might well tweet us and correct me on this. But I remember doing a line-out, and we all knew the calls, so you didn't compete in the line-outs. You played the game, doing line-outs before the game.
Yeah.
So you didn't compete because everyone knew the calls. And there was a call where it's a wraparound or something, ball comes down and Ed Hallett comes through the gap at the back that's been created by so-and-so. And Al Sanderson, he wasn't buying it. He waited in the hole and as he came round, he absolutely ended him. And everyone was like, whoa. Like, because he knew he was coming.
Yeah.
So you could say it's a cheap shot. And Al Sanderson said something on the lines of, and he was like, aah! On the floor. And he's like, give me my fucking shirt. Give me a fucking shirt like that. It was like, wow.
Yeah.
We were 17 at the time, and he was like, he was brutal. So I remember that sticks out for me. Like, you know, and in the end, he was like, as he was, my memory is he's fine. This guy, he's done his ribs or something, but he's struggling going off.
Yeah,
he was like, shirt, give me the shirt, sort of thing. Like, wow.
I have to think Warren Gatlin is Gethin Jenkins' father.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, he hasn't. He can't prove he's not yet, can he?
No, you know, they get on really well.
Yeah.
And a long, long career.
Yeah.
Loves him.
You know, Warren Gatland's son is in the match that is in the squad for the first Lions game. Yeah. Against the Lions.
10 as well.
Oh, is he?
I remember him when he was like, you know, 12, 13 years old, kicking a ball in the Millennium Stadium.
Knee eye to a giraffe.
During team runs, yeah.
Yeah.
Also remember Di Young's son's ball boys at the Blues.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Dave used to come in and say, I'm knackered. I'd to take the boys to watch Blue last night in the Motorpoint Arena.
Imagine Die Young watching Blue.
Oh, I know. Right. we had a question on Twitter from Divad Celios. Boys, what other sport do you think you could have turned your hand to?
Oh, God.
Do you reckon you could have?
You first.
I reckon cricket or tennis. It's just, I'm not all rounder, hybrid.
Oh, yeah. Are you quite skillful and stuff like that?
Yeah, like, I'm good at golf. Mm. Best of my gang at golf.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and results prove that. Stapleford points prove that.
Okay. I couldn't do any proper ball sports. I've got no coordination or hand-eye, really, or balance. I think...
What about, like, shot put or something like a panel?
No,
like that?
Shot put, I mean, I'm what, 6 foot? And that, if I wasn't fat git and I was in decent nick, semi-decent nick, I'd be 6 foot, 19 and a half stone, which sounds really big. In the world of shot put, that is miniature, so you're nowhere near big enough or powerful enough.
Now, you eat some of those pork chops you put on last night.
Yeah, it's true.
50% fat, 50% meat.
If I committed early enough to powerlifting, I maybe could have done that.
And you don't chop the fat off either, do you?
I do, actually.
You don't.
I do,
you eat that all.
I promise you I don't. That actually makes me feel sick, the thought of that.
You cut it up vertically with a bit of fat on the end.
Yeah, I just put some jam on it.
Yeah.
I think probably something like grappling, something like that.
Okay.
Wrestling, jiu-jitsu, that sort of stuff I would have liked, yeah.
Greco-Roman, cover yourself in
yeah,
oil.
Yeah. Like sort of standard wrestling or jiu-jitsu stuff.
Right, second point of this question is, knowing pro rugby now, would you still do it all again?
Do you know why I would? I would because of the life it's given me now, yes.
Yeah. I would as well.
I think
the only thing that puts me off now is I know the conditioning and the training it takes to get to where the players are now, and it's tough.
The one thing that puts me off now is diet. I mean, I didn't have a terrible diet, but the guys are so on it now, I'm just not sure I've got that in me, really. But I would do it all again, and I don't care about the injuries and that sort of stuff, but I think, yeah, because of where I feel, like how life is now, yeah. So I would. Here's a good one. From Mike Beeson on email. Do you think there'll ever be a Lions tour to Argentina? I think that is actually a great idea in terms of the test matches. I just don't think you could get six, seven, eight great midweek matches out there.
No, I'd say no, completely not. Mm. It's a nice idea, but the Lions tour is only every 4 years. So, you know, going back to New Zealand every 12 years, Steph told you I went in 2005. It's amazing.
Well, to watch, was it? Doing the media, was it?
Yeah, boys, probably said this, boys roomed on their own, didn't they? That's what Clive Woodward did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they won the World Cup in 2003, they roomed the boys on their own. Amount of players that come back and needed glasses.
Yeah.
Your parents are right.
Jesus Christ.
You make you go blind. Here's one for you here, Flats, Lawrence Evans. Do you have any experience of scrum pox?
Yeah, I've had scrum pox, yeah.
Yeah, what's it like?
How
did you get it around your groin area, mate?
No, that's not what this is.
Oh, right. Sorry. Carry on.
It's fishing trip again. The way I got scrumpox was... What's smallpox? Where I got scrumpox was Duncan Bell.
Hey, you don't want smallpox.
No, you're not smallpox. Duncan Bell used to get it all the time. It's basically like rundown, sweaty, herpes type thing, I think. But you're obviously grinding other men's sweat and blood and whatever in the front row a lot.
You must get it on your face, don't you?
The lads have it on face, chin, behind the ears, neck, stuff like that. And Belly had it on his like neck and ear and stuff. And I'm scrummaging against Belly in training. And we're going pretty hard. It was live. And like he's just like, oh, for Christ's sake. And like, my ear used to burst all the time, like every day, really.
Yeah.
So it would burst. And he had loads of blood all over the side of his face. And he's like, oh, for God's sake. And someone got a bottle of water and a sponge, like sprayed the blood off. And I was like, oh, you've missed a load there. He goes, oh, no, that's me pox. He's had, like, exposed scrum pox. You're not meant to train. And I had open wound. And believe it or not, next morning I wake up and I've got, like, really sore pox behind my ear, my neck and everything. That's how it gets passed. Everything gets passed. So if you've got flu and you train, props will catch, and you've got live scrums, the other lads will catch flu. You're just so close.
And you still manage to pull.
Yeah, mad, isn't it?
Right.
Not very often, mind.
Theo Beale on Twitter wants to know, if either of you stepped into a Premiership game to play next weekend, how many minutes do you think you'd last? I'll be honest with you, right? I reckon 15. I couldn't keep up with the constant play.
Yeah, but your knee?
Yeah, but fitness as well. I mean, I go to the gym.
How'd you need
I go to the gym 3 or 4 times a week because it's part of my life. And I go there with all this intention. I've got in my head what I'm going to do. I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I've superset everything. And then, I've got 25 minutes then at the end to do some cardio, go real tough on the bike and do... I never get around to doing any fitness. Just do a bit of weights and I'm like... Oof. Yeah, I'm not jumping in the jacuzzi. That's Bubs's.
Yeah.
He washes in there, mate.
Oh, God.
Who goes in the jacuzzi and, like, cups their hands in water and starts splashing on your face?
No one.
He just does.
Him. Just him. 50, say 15 minutes. I don't know. Fitness-wise, I'd die out there.
Yeah. All right,
14 minutes. Here's my last one on email. We've had loads of questions. We just can't read them all out. I'll be here all night. But Julian Hollis on email. A conundrum. From Guy Hollis in Bristol. Sweet corn, best on the cob or out of a tin? I want to say off the cob, Tommy. I want to say that, but I don't mean it. I'm going to say out of a tin to you.
I'm off the cob, but I like to cut it off the cob.
Do you?
Yeah.
Don't you just miss loads?
No. Use a sharp knife, cut it off the cob, but it doesn't get any teeth then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We might as well get out of a tin then.
You've got some in your teeth now? Oh, no, that is your teeth.
That's my teeth.
Reese Williams has tweeted us.
Is it the Reese Williams?
The Reese Williams.
Yeah,
commercial director at the Cardiff Blues.
Ex-Cowbridge School.
Wales, 15, winger.
Now he's a guy that he wears tight shirts, he does a bit of chest, skips legs day. Yeah.
No, he does, mate. He's big.
I know, he is. He's big.
He used to put insulation tape around his ears when he was at 15.
That's it.
Yeah. Has Shanks ever won...
Drives around in the Cardiff Blues sponsored car, doesn't he, all the time?
The electric one.
Yeah.
No.
All right, go on.
He wasn't allowed the Outlander, was he? Not the Outlander, the Discovery Sport.
Discovery. No, that's Dickies. That's the CEOs. Yeah.
Touch the subject.
Very.
Has Shanks ever won a dance-off that he entered?
Yeah. I think you have.
No, I haven't.
I've seen you dance-off.
He's saying that because 2004, after the last game of Six Nations, we had won 2 games. I think we'd be in... It might have just been Italy, the last game, so everything was brilliant.
Yeah.
On a Sunday, we had a bit of a session, jumping jacks, and myself, Reese, and Alfie decided to enter a break dancing competition on stage. He said, does anyone want to enter it? So we went down there. And I thought I was the best.
Yeah.
Because I'm quite agile, and I used to do a little bit, amateur back in the day. And...
amateur b-boy stuff.
Yeah, Reese did a little bit, pretty standard... posh break dancing.
Alfie?
He froze.
Did he?
Yeah, he froze under pressure, didn't know what to do, and then someone went behind him, and I think it was Reese went behind him and kegged him.
Oh!
But it was a proper keg as well. The baby's arm was out.
Oh, no. I know.
And then
is he in a good position, though, to get kegged? Is he doing okay to get kegged?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
So he probably asked someone to do it. And then they had, a cheerometer then for the winner.
Yeah.
And, most of the girls basically cheered for Reese. So he won it.
He's an Adonis.
Yeah. So, there.
Yeah. Okay, well done.
Last thing, mate. Last question. Small Man Peaky on Twitter wants to know, what do you think about Luke Fitzgerald's comments on Nigel Owens? So have you read this or heard this? He had a little pop at Nigel.
Why don't you refresh our listeners?
For being smart. Say, Nigel Owens making a few smart comments in the game, like he does. It was about an advantage that was played, and he said, you were rubbish. The advantage was played. You didn't do anything with it. It was rubbish play. One of the Munster players said thank coach to him. And Luke Fitzgerald isn't too happy about the way Nigel Owens speaks to players. He's saying that reffing should come first before he starts taking the mickey out of players, which I think does happen anyway with him. I think he's pretty funny. I really enjoy his comments. He has a good rapport with the teams and the players. Going into a game, he's going to come out with some smart comments. And for one of the Munster boys to say, thanks, Coach Back, I thought was absolutely amazing. Brilliant. Loved it.
Yeah. I absolutely agree with you. I love Nigel Owens. He makes the odd mistake, like every ref, but he's one of the best in the world, has been for a while. I love the way he conducts himself on the field and off the field, but primarily on the field because I know more about that. I love it. I love all Nigel Owens stuff. I very rarely... In fact, I can't remember when I ever thought he was being inappropriate on the field. I think he's great, and I think it's absolutely fine that Justin Fitzgerald doesn't. I don't think
Luke.
Who's Justin Fitzgerald? Prop used to play for Luke Fitzgerald. That's absolutely fine, and you know I actually really like listening to Luke
might be Cracker Justin Fitzgerald, is it?
No, I really like. It might be actually. I really like listening to Luke Fitzgerald's point of view on things. Actually,
I mean, he's not afraid to say what he thinks
I really
at
like
all.
That. But I just on this one, I just don't agree. I love Nigel Owens.
There's one thing. Shane played for Allenford United in one of the cup games in
principality. That's right.
Won a game.
Good on him.
And I'm going to upload it to our Twitter account. He catches someone's scrum hat that's thrown in the air without looking at it. It's like some sort of ninja skill. He's just looking away, sticks his arm out, catches it. He's the Matrix. He's like Neo.
He's different.
Dodging the bullets, throws it off.
He's different.
And he's still in incredible condition. And Nick, which really, really grinds me.
Yeah, it's painful, isn't it?
I know. Anyway.
Well done, mate.
Yeah.
We're back on board, aren't we?
Yeah, back to it.
Feels good.
Yeah, well, you know, if you do want to contact us, please do it on Twitter. Feel free to rate us on iTunes as well. 5 stars, yeah?
You don't rate us badly, you bugger, is mine.
No, exactly.
All right, then. All ta-da.
Right. Ciao.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.